Are you ready to banish burnout in 2024? I used to wear my workaholism like a badge of honor, but all it did was steal my joy and leave me depleted for those that were most important to me, including myself. The problem is, most people don't even realize they're experiencing burnout. And even if they're lucky enough to realize what's happening, they don't know how to get it under control. Until now. I've put together a one-hour live webinar with me that will give you the tools you need to start living a less chaotic life, tangible strategies that you can implement today to replenish your energy without having to quit your job. Head over to KarenFreeland.com/burnout and claim your spot today. There's no cost to attend. It's my free gift to you. Let's make this the year you show up calm, confident and collected in every facet of your life. Visit KarenFreeland.com/burnout right now to learn more and sign up. See you there. Welcome to Rock Your Reinvention, the show for high-achieving career women who refuse to settle for mediocrity and aren't afraid to take bold action. This is a place where you can authentically show up, where every dream and goal can be validated and achieved. Hi, I'm your host, Karen Freeland, a certified life reinvention coach, speaker, and award-winning author. I'm here to give you the tips, tools, and strategies to help you shift your mindset, build your confidence, and take meaningful actions so you can rock your reinvention. Ready to go from stuck to thriving? Let's go. I am so excited for today's episode. We have a very exciting guest. Welcome to Rock Your Reinvention, Kristen.
Woohoo! Excited to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. Well, we met on the Podcasting Business School's Pod Pals Party. And so that's a lot of P's. Say that five times fast. Both of us are podcasters, and we're going to dive into all of this soon. And we were kind of hanging out with Adam and his crew over at the Podcasting Business School. Shout out to him and his friends. And we just like hit it off. I loved what you did. You've been in the restaurant industry for a long time. I spent time in the restaurant industry. And I was like, oh, you've been through a whole reinvention. I was like, you got to come share all of this with my people. And so here we are making connections and collaborating, and I love that. So I appreciate you taking the time to be here.
Absolutely.
Cool. Well, without further ado, why don't you go ahead and just introduce yourself, tell us who you are, what you do, and maybe a fun fact about yourself.
Yes. I am Kristen Marvin. I am the founder and CEO of a company called Solutions by Kristen. I partner with companies to increase their leadership, or excuse me, to speed up their leadership development internally so that they can increase retention and operate thriving businesses. I work primarily with local restaurants that have two or more locations, and I work very closely with the restaurant owners, helping them reignite their passion, avoid burnout, overcome burnout, and help them be better leaders so that they can show up the way that they want to for their teams and help them be better leaders as well. Fun fact, oh gosh, I would say I have three golden doodles.
Ooh.
That I absolutely love. They're my kiddos for sure. Their names are Cooper, Chef, and Madeline. That's my fun fact for today.
Oh, that's awesome. How old are they?
They are 11, 8, and 5.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you got all the ages in there. Nice. Awesome. Well, I have a little dog named Kobe. He is a Shiba Inu. And I didn't realize Shiba Inus were quite as stubborn as they are. But but he's a sweetheart. So we're learning to love each other.
Yeah, for sure. They're very distracting when I'm working from home, for sure. For the first time in my career. But I love them. So they keep me active. Aww.
That's great. Oh, I know. Dogs are the best, especially in the winter, because if I did not have a dog, I would never go outside. Totally. But it forces me at like 30 degrees, like today, to go out and get that walk, get that exercise in.
Yep.
All right. So I love what you're doing for restaurants. I spent a long time in the restaurant industry myself, right out of college and, you know, for a couple years after that. And you've been into the restaurant industry over like 15 years, right?
Yeah, I started as a cook when I was 15, and then I worked my way up through the ranks. So I was in fine dining for about 5 years, and then became a managing partner with a local group in Denver for 5 years, and worked with Snooze AM Eatery for 7 years, super high volume brunch for anybody that's listening that knows and loves Snooze, and ended up in the ice cream business for 2 years during the pandemic. Which was just something I had never done and super exciting. But I worked for a company called Sweet Cow Ice Cream in Colorado, local brand. They make 150 small batch flavors that it's the best ice cream I've ever had. So please go check it out if you're in the area for sure. But yeah, I've done a little bit of everything, you know, starting from cook to working up to managing partner. So
that's pretty impressive because there's not a lot of cooks, I don't think, that make that jump and that leap. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
I think a lot of people start in the restaurant business at a very early age, you know, 15, 16 years old, kind of trying it on for size and see if it works. And some fall in love with it and some don't. So helping more people fall in love with it.
Well, I think that's so important because it is a fun place to be. And one of the things, and this is probably dependent on where you are in the restaurant industry, but I know as a waitress, like I loved being able to just clock out. At the end of my shift, I am done and I don't have to think about work. And when I went into the corporate world, that was one of the things that I missed most about being a waitress was just when you're done, you're done. And I don't have to be on 24/7.
Yeah, it's so true. And that does not happen when you get into management. You're right. Always on. You're always getting calls and texts from the restaurants or from the team about questions or trading shifts or what's going on or emergencies that come up. But I will say for me, you know, I grew up in a really small town. And I'm very much an introvert, and working in restaurants, you know, working in the heart of the house was really comfortable for me because I was kind of quiet in my corner. But when I started serving and bartending, it really just brought out the extrovert in me. And I just started to become a different person. I was social. Everybody on the team loved each other. They hung out after work together. You know, it was just an environment that I had never been a part of before. So I loved it and continue. I wanted to, you know, create that for other people. And the restaurant industry is just a total blast. So,
yeah. And a lot of people might just kind of glaze over this thing that you just said, but how you became a different person by putting yourself in a situation that was totally uncomfortable to start, but then became really comfortable and you learned how to adapt, and it actually brought out the extrovert in you. And I think that's so cool because a lot of us, especially people who are thinking about reinventing their career or an aspect of their life, are like, but I don't know how to do that thing, or that feels uncomfortable, so I'm not going to go do it. And I think what I'm hearing from you is like, that's exactly where you reach your full potential and you grow as a human being. So go do the thing that feels totally uncomfortable.
Totally. And I didn't know that at 19, right? But you know this, you know, coach to coach right now and podcaster to podcaster, you know that when you lean into something that's really uncomfortable for you, that's where growth happens. And so if you want to grow and you want to continue pushing yourself and excelling, you're going to be uncomfortable a lot of the time. And for me, that has, you know, people talk a lot about imposter syndrome and, and just, you know, being scared of trying to apply for different roles and reach for something bigger. And that is just a trigger for me now that I'm moving in the right direction.
Yeah, right? It's like you kind of like love it. You learn to love it. You're like, ooh, what can I do today that's going to make me feel like totally incompetent and like I have no idea what I'm doing, but I'll figure it out.
Totally.
Okay, so what was the moment that you were in your career, you're doing your restaurant stuff or your ice cream thing, and you're like, okay, enough is enough. I need a change. I'm going out on my own. Like, paint that picture for us. What were you feeling? What was happening?
Yeah, I mean, we're sitting here talking about being uncomfortable and you know, finding passion and doing great things and having fun. And this is going to switch to a little bit of a darker picture for me to paint for you. But
sure.
You know, I spent the first 10 years of my career opening different concepts. You know, I've been lucky to open 13 different restaurants, mostly all different. And that creativity and that empowerment and that autonomy that I had working for local businesses was incredible. And I spent the latter of my career opening the same concept over and over and over again. And I didn't realize at the time that that wasn't really fulfilling for me. And I had had a boss that I'm still kind of trying to get over, and I've processed a lot over the last year and a half, but I had a boss that I didn't feel supported by. And I had a boss that came in and told us from the beginning that we were all replaceable and that told me I wasn't effective in my role and told me I was the lowest paid person among my ranks, although I had been there the longest amount of time and for a long time was the only female in that group. So I, you know, unfortunately for me, I really let that just mess with my head and really let my confidence tank. And I started drinking really heavily. You know, my husband had been in the wine business for 15 years. And so wine was at home, readily available all the time. We were very social people. We were in the food and wine business, you know, in a growing city. So we were always a part of the new hot restaurant and soft openings and all the things, right? It's what we did for sport. We don't have kids. So we were out all the time. And it just kept, you know, the drinking aspect just kept showing up for me as a sign to cover up the stress. It was just a Band-Aid for me. I'd get off work and I'd start having a glass of wine or shot of tequila. And then that would turn into three or four. Soon the bottle was gone, you know, of wine. And I would use alcohol to turn off my brain from the day, not have to reflect on how I was feeling in my current environment, not spend the time and energy, sit down and really being strategic about what I wanted to do to turn my situation around and how I wanted to manage up. I started to play the victim and I started to, you know, I tried to kind of go to HR and say, I need some help, but I have no idea what to do. And the response I got was, what do you want me to do with this information? So I didn't feel like I was supported. And so the thing for me was I stayed in that position way longer than I should have. And I really let it eat at me. And so I realized one day I actually woke up and I was in so much physical pain from drinking and I wasn't sleeping and I'm a huge sleeper. That's always been really important to me. And I woke up and I just said, I need help. Wow. I need help and I need to figure out, I don't know what that looks like, but I want to do something differently because I hated myself. I knew who I was deep down. I knew I had this potential. I knew I could be greater than I was in the moment. And I was so sick and tired of waking up in the morning every day and shaming myself in the mirror, jumping on the Peloton to try to, you know, get back to square one so I could actually sweat out some booze and get back to work. It wasn't sustainable for me. And it was just a really pivotal moment. And that was a really pivotal day for me where I decided to reach out for help and start working with a coach. So
I feel that on every level of everything, like my whole body. I'm just like, you could be sharing my story, except I was just in tech, you know, I was in a different industry, but I was doing the same thing, drinking all the time. And it was so socially acceptable. Mm-hmm. Like, at what point do we start caring and loving our friends enough to be like, hey, maybe drinking every single day isn't great for you. You know, like we don't want to overstep, but I'm like kind of getting to the point where I'm like, I feel like I need to talk about this more and be there to help people and go, just because everything you see online is like, mommy needs a drink or, you know, let's go out with our girlfriends and ditch the workouts and just like make it so socially acceptable. Like, it doesn't mean that it's actually socially acceptable or that it's good for you. It may very well be socially acceptable, but like, it doesn't mean that it's adding any value to your life.
Yeah. You know, and it's interesting that you say value because, so I've been sober a little over two years.
Yay.
Thank you. And my husband has been sober over a year and being on that journey together. I just wrote about that in my newsletter this week, but being on that journey together has been incredibly eye-opening. I mean, we had been drinking our entire life. You know, we've been together for 20 years. So we have had to learn how to reinvent our lifestyle, to figure out how to find new hobbies, to make new friends. You know, we're in a different city now. And everything about our life has changed. And I am so much more present, which sounds silly because of course it's just common sense, right? I'm so much more present in every single aspect of my life that my relationship with my husband, my relationship with my friends, my relationship with my family have never been better. And I just value people so much more than I did before. And it's life-changing for sure.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing and being open enough. And I'm always down to go deep and really like explore those things. So I'm glad you were open and willing to share that. So I like how you said you had to find new hobbies and new friends and all the things, because that is something that I've struggled with a lot, is being real about like, do I want these people in my life? Like, how do I continue to have relationships? Like, I like these people, but being around them is really hard for me because it takes me in different direction than I want to go in. So as you were thinking about this whole reinvention, right, whether it was to get sober, whether it was to leave the security of a paycheck and go do something else, like, what were some of the things that you were considering when you were deciding to make this shift?
The most important thing that I wanted to do, and this is why I started working with a coach, was I wanted to design my lifestyle, mm-hmm. and then back my career into that, because I had never done that before. And that sounded really weird, especially in American culture, right? Where it's the grind, go, 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 hustle and bustle all the time. I had been working 60 to 70, 80 hours a week my entire career. And I loved what I did for the majority of that time. So that wasn't ever a big problem for me, but I could see that it was a problem, you know, just with how I was spending my time and my energy with other people. And so when I started working with a coach, I said, I don't know, I have no idea what this next career move is. And that's really scary for me, because I could never see myself outside of the hospitality industry. But I knew that I couldn't be in operations anymore. It was just taking too much from me. Or I was allowing myself to give more than I was receiving, which is very common, right? For a lot of us, especially people that work in hospitality. So I said, I want to design my lifestyle. I want to somehow stay connected with hospitality, but I want to figure out exactly who I want to be and how I want to show up every single day before I determine what kind of work I'm going to do. And that was really scary, because I had been making six figures and had been the breadwinner our entire marriage.
Yeah, right? Same. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we bought a house 6 years ago in Denver that was our dream house, that was way too big for us. And we could not afford for me to quit my job and just start and do something new. So we knew that all of this new lifestyle was going to mean picking up, leaving everything, selling our house, and moving to a different city where life was more affordable, where we had different priorities and values, being closer to family, a lifestyle that included nicer weather all year round. So my husband could golf, which he does 4 days a week.
I love that.
PGA tour. He loves it. And I could start running again. I could be outside. I could go hiking. I could take the dogs out. I could be a better dog mom, you know, and take them for a walk every single day, which sounds small, but was a really important thing to me. So it was really just about, and you know this working with clients, right? You build a vision around what you want, and then you start to create that system in order to make that vision become a reality. And so we had to look at everything. We had to look at finances. We had to look at where we were living. We had to look at our circle of friends, you know, and we haven't lost any. They're all incredible. But we had to look at, again, creating those new hobbies and then finding people that were willing to do those hobbies with us, you know?
Yeah.
So it was a lot of things.
Yeah. And I think that's really important, because a lot of people are probably thinking about making a shift, but they're on the fence or a little tentative. And it's like, okay, these are some of the things that you might want to consider. And I love how you just paint this picture and then you're like, I'm going to back everything into that.
Yeah.
And it's not about, I always tell my clients, it's not about running away from something. You're not running away from something. You're running towards something. Mm-hmm. You may not like this thing, but if you always picture it in your head as you're running away from something, then you feel like, well, I wasn't strong enough to overcome that, or I wasn't good enough or talented enough. And it's like, no, that wasn't for you anymore. You're running towards this other thing that is going to allow you to reach your fullest purpose and potential in this life.
Absolutely. And you have to get curious about where you're at in that moment. Mm. And really understand, again, what's aligning with your values and what's not. And sometimes, you know, it's not, my message is not that in order to be happy and live your most fulfilled life, you have to sell everything and pick up and move, you know, to a different state and give up everything. But when you start to get curious about where your values are out of alignment, you can make really small shifts in your life that will translate to every single area that, you know, of your life. And that's where the magic happens. And I wish I would have, you know, I wish I would have worked with a coach when I was starting to become unhappy in my career, because I could have made some shifts then internally that I think would have helped me see things differently for sure. And either, quit my job, again, been able to manage up more, or just looked at things in a different perspective and found more value in a lot of the other areas of what I was doing from a work perspective, because there were so many beautiful parts about my team and the company culture and what we stood for. But I spent so much time and energy focusing on the negative that it was really detrimental for my career, my mental health more than anything, and my body. I mean, God, I'm drinking that much and eating as much garbage as I did. I gained 40 pounds and I'm halfway there, but I'm still working on getting it off. So.
Yeah. Well, I have no doubt that you will get there with your focus and dedication.
Thank you. I will.
Yeah. I love that. So you just got to own it. Like, yes, it's happening. It's totally. Not if, it's when.
Yep.
So you have a podcast also called No Hesitations, the Restaurant Leadership Podcast, which I love the name, by the way. No Hesitations. That's really cute. What made you want to become a podcaster as you were starting this new business?
You know, the No Hesitations name is kind of an ode to Anthony Bourdain. You know,
I love him.
Yeah, we do too.
It's so sad.
I had the pleasure of he came and filmed at one of our restaurants, and he was just a lovely, kind soul. And we were able to see him speak in Denver as well. And just a kind human being, a life that you kind of looked at, you know, and thought, man, he's got everything, and one that really hits a lot of us hard still, you know, to this day to see how he went out. So, why did I get into podcasting? So when I started the business, I was like, I'm going to be a coach. This is going to be great. And I'm going to run around and I'm going to have all these clients and I'm going to make this impact, you know, and I was very, I'm always optimistic and a little naive, which I laugh at myself a lot for, but I didn't know what I was doing. Right. And so I think 6 months in, I was like, okay, Kristen, you have to really go back to your strategy here for your business. And you've got to figure out how to make this sustainable, because I want to do this for the next 25 or 30 years.
Yeah.
And I have my retirement age goal and financial goal, and I know what I need to get there. And I was like, I can't just coach. That can't be it. I've got to create different revenue streams. So don't stress out, you know? So anyway, I was looking around at what other people were doing in my field and building a new community and network. And one of my goals is to write a book, and which I'm in the process of doing. And so, and I know you know this, right, from being an author a couple times over, that a lot of people say, depending on the route you want to go with traditional publishing or self-publishing, that you have to build an audience.
Yes.
Right? You've got to show up. And so I wanted to work on that. Obviously, podcasting was terrifying to me and something I didn't know anything about. And I wanted to put myself out there and try to practice being vulnerable, because that was really something I struggled with during my leadership career. So I thought, well, this is a great win for me. But more than that, I wanted and still want to try to produce as much content as I can for leadership, for restaurant leaders in any way and shape and fashion that they want to learn. So the content I put out on LinkedIn is, you know, short form content. If people want something quick to read before they walk into to pre-shift or lineup and they need some motivation, or they just need to think differently for a sec, you know, for a day. There's the newsletters that I read or that I write on LinkedIn once a week as well. Again, for some long form, if people have a second to sit down and read. And then the podcast for me is a great opportunity to listen to a little something on your way to work or coming home from work. Yeah. If you need a little lesson, you need to just turn off, which we really need to do in the restaurant world, or something. I mean, I hope people don't listen to it to fall asleep. but it is really hard to fall asleep when you get home from working a restaurant shift. So if they need to plug me in and in their headphones and fall asleep. I'm cool with that too. So
yeah. Oh, that's great. So you also said something, you said line up in there. So if you're not from the restaurant industry, line up is basically before your shift, like the GM or the whoever's working in front of the house will line up all the servers or whoever, maybe in the back of the house, they do it too. And you basically just like, okay, here's the specials for tonight. Like, here's what we're working on, or hey, you know, any special announcements or things, and kind of just prep everybody for a fun night or day for your shift. I usually got yelled at during lineup because I would have like a dirty apron because I was like, I did not make enough money as a server to dry clean these and have them pressed. I was like, they might go through the washer once or twice a week. And that's all I got for you guys. Okay.
Well, and I was always the manager that was like, okay, let's talk about the apron. Go spot clean it for a second. I always challenge, you know, again, coming from fine dining and anywhere I've worked, uniform standards are really important. And it's important to show up as you are. But also, I always told the team, like, remember that you're going to be in front of 600 to 1,000 people today. Like, we want the restaurant to be clean. We want the food to be clean. We want you to be clean, you know?
Yeah, I was like a nightmare. I mean, really, I had no, because I was so focused on trying to act and do other stuff. I was like, I'm not going to be here like for long, you know? But I just, oh my gosh, I feel so bad for my leadership because it's poor people.
You learn lessons as you get older, right?
Right. You got to grow, right? We all grow. So let's talk about work-life balance, because obviously that was a big piece for you, I think. And when you were in the industry, you didn't really have a lot of work-life balance. I now use the term life-work harmony because I like life to come first and then work. And I want it all just to be kind of seamless. But now that you've made this pivot, I don't know about you, but I have found sometimes that old habits die hard and I might want to fall back into some of that workaholism. But how do you ensure that you're keeping your priorities straight?
It's a great question. You're right. I mean, old habits die hard. We, at the end of the day, we are who we are, right? And again, you and I know that through coaching, we're not changing anybody here. You know, we're just changing your mindset and the way that you perceive things and your outlook on life. And I am a hyperachiever. I'm a big fan of positive intelligence and mental fitness. I talk a lot about mental fitness, and saboteurs is something that I dive into a lot with clients. And those are really all the things that really create your negative thoughts and create all your stress and anxiety, right? You're probably familiar with those, but I am a hyperachiever, which means I love writing lists. I love crossing things off the list. I get a little splash of dopamine every time I do. And I make lists for everything in my life, that helps me be successful because I can accomplish an extraordinary amount of things. However, it also holds me back because the quality of everything that I'm doing is not where I want it to be. And I'm super hard on myself. So again, I know this about myself now. I've learned this through the coaching world. I have become very self-aware and I can recognize this voice in my head. I had it show up this morning. She shows up for me every single day. And I have to take a moment and slow down and recognize what's going on right now with me and slow down. So the one thing that I do every single day that really helps me slow down and check in and be present is journal. I get up, I make a cup of tea or coffee, and I sit for, it could be 5 or 10 minutes, and I just write down what did I really love about yesterday, business-wise, life-wise. What do I need to do to set an intention today to get better or autocorrect? Mm-hmm. And that just, even just the art of sitting down and writing, even if sometimes I go back and read my journals and I'm like, what was I trying to say? Because I'm even distracted when I'm doing that. But just the practice of sitting down and writing something helps me slow down, be really intentional about my thoughts, be grateful for what I'm doing, and celebrate all the hard work that I'm doing, because I am so guilty of when I accomplish something great, I spend about 2 seconds celebrating it and I'm on to the next goal.
So relatable.
Ugh, it's just, it's annoying to say, but it happens to me. So journaling has been a big part of that. And I do 30-day reviews of my calendar. So I sit down for probably 30 minutes and I write down everything that I've done in my calendar, who I met with, podcasts, whatever. And I look at where I'm spending my time and my energy. And I check in and go, does this feel right for me? Is it draining my energy or is it giving me energy? And some of those things on that list are going to be energy drainers and some are going to be energy lifters, right? And so then that next 30 days, as I'm writing my new calendar, I lean in more to the things that are giving me energy and just constantly make those adjustments. But if I don't stop and check in on myself, nobody's going to do that for me.
Yeah.
That's how I burnt out in the first place. So
yeah. Oh, these are good tips.
Yeah. If you can learn lessons from burnout, which I have, that is one of them. It's just, you have to take time to slow down and check in with yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I love going back and reading old journal entries. I'll just like call myself out. I'm like, oh, this was classic Karen. Here she was talking about burning her business down again. Wah, wah, woe is me, you know, and I'll just write like in the margins and just call BS on myself and just go through the whole email and go, oh gosh, did you really say that? That's not even true. You don't even know that. That's speculation. But I have to go back later. Like I let myself have all the feels right the first time around. And then maybe like a day or so later, I'll come back and be like, all right, let's reexamine that. And I think it helps me retrain my brain so that a lot of times when things happen or they go wrong or whatever, instead of even making it to the journal, I've already self-corrected before I get there, you know, and be like, oh, no, we're not doing this today or whatever.
Totally. But this isn't something that you can do for 30 days and then poof, right? It's gone. This is a lifelong practice.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, there are days when, you know, I'd love to say, oh, yeah, I journal every day. But, you know, realistically, there'll be a week that goes by and I haven't journaled in 5 days and I start to feel anxious. Mm-hmm. You know, I realize when I stop drinking, I have anxiety and I'm like, oh, this is fun. I never realized I had this. How do I deal with it now? You know, and I'm not a fan of medication. So I had to do a lot of research on that. But when I start to feel that like buzzing in my body, mm-hmm. I'm like, oh. It's like when you drink too much caffeine and you start to kind of get jittery. I start to feel that and I go, oh, what's going on? Oh, you haven't journaled in 5 days. Like sit down for 5 minutes and just take a minute. Kristen, take a minute. So.
Oh, yeah. And we deserve it. We deserve those minutes.
We do.
All right. I have to ask, since you've been around all the restaurants and the chefs and everything for so long, who is your biggest celebrity crush? It doesn't have to be romantically, but like who are you maybe in awe of? But like, you know, like how they do like Women Crush Wednesday or something. Like who's your chef guy?
I've had a lot of crushes over the years. I think when I see people that are really successful in their career and have that charisma and challenge themselves to work harder, that's really attractive to me. Hands down, my celebrity crush has been Danny Meyer since I was in my early 20s. So for anybody that's listening, if you don't know Danny Meyer, he really invented the concept of hospitality and changed what hospitality meant and has looked like in the United States in the 80s and 90s. And he has a wonderful book called Setting the Table that I used to purchase and train the staff with in the restaurants that I worked in. He is an incredible human being. He has opened so many wonderful restaurants in New York City. He's got a ton, but Blue Smoke, Gramercy Tavern, Union Square Cafe. He now runs the empire that is Shake Shack, but he's just, there's quality all around him. And he's just very kind and approachable. And somebody that, he's from Missouri, which again, I'm from Missouri. So I kind of had that small connection when I was first reading his book. But I went back to his book a couple weeks ago because there's just so many beautiful nuggets that can be applied to any industry, right? Hospitality is not just about restaurants. You can provide hospitality to your customers, to your team, you know, to yourself in any industry. So he's at 100% my crush. Yeah. I was lucky enough to meet him when Shake Shack first came to Denver and my husband was with me, and I was like a little kid that had seen Santa for the first time or something. I just stood there and froze, and he like pushed me on the back. He was like, go say hi, because he was just standing there. I was like, I can't, you know.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Anyway. I love that he encouraged you. He was supportive of you meeting your crush.
Oh, he was not about to let me leave and not take advantage of that opportunity. And yeah, so it was a good time.
Yeah. Sounds like a great partner.
For sure.
All right, cool. So how do you help? And you mentioned a little bit around the burnout, you know, but how do you help the restaurants that you consult with? Like, what could someone expect to, you know, outcomes could they expect from working with you?
So I'll tell you a couple stories here. I've got a client right now who has 10 concepts that are mostly all different and continuing to expand. He's just doing incredible things. And really is in so much of the grind that he lost his passion. Mm-hmm. He wasn't really clear on what, you know, he wasn't happy with how he was waking up every single day. He wasn't happy with where his level of health was and wanted to be better for his team. Mm-hmm. You know, is very hungry and driven and wanting to continue to expand his concepts and provide opportunities for other people. That's his, you know, his legacy, and really taking time to be a strategic partner for, you know, for my clients helps them identify their blind spots. Mm-hmm. And you know this, sometimes you just need to hold a mirror up in front of somebody and say, this is what I'm hearing you say. Here's how you're showing up right now. Here's what your energy level looks like. And by doing that, that has really helped him completely shift his mindset and refine his purpose and show up differently every time he walks into one of his concepts, which is really fun. And through the course of our work together, I do this with all clients, but there's commitments at the end of every session, and then there's accountability around those. And we design that together. It's not just me giving the commitments, you know, or providing solutions, because that's not what we do, right? But to be able to check in on those commitments every single session and take moments to celebrate the work that they're doing, mm-hmm. and the momentum that they're building, and have them not only talk about the work they've done, but how it's impacting their physical life, their mental life. You know, I've had a couple of my clients have told me, I'm sleeping so much better. I'm drinking so much less than I did before. And I'm just happier overall. And that's the goal, right? Everybody deserves that. You can work your ass off and be as successful as you want, but you may not be happy until you are living really that fully fulfilled life. So that's one example of, you know, a client that has just really, really leaned into the work and is so committed to self-improvement. I've got another client who has 5 businesses in town, and I've been working with him on how to create systems and grow mm-hmm. the business, right? Because he wants to open multiple or more locations. Coaching him on change management, how to develop his team, how to communicate with his team, how to do, you know, his leaders keep coming to him saying, I want to be developed. And he's like, I don't know what that means. I don't know what to do, right? Which a lot of people do.
Yep.
And it's focusing more on the soft skills than the technical aspect of the job.
Sure.
For them. But I also am able to coach his management team. And again, help them build their confidence, help them craft their leadership style, because they're in their 20s and in leadership roles for the very first time, which I, you know, see a lot of myself in them, and that's mm-hmm. incredible. And teach them how to manage up. You know, it's a lot of people when they get into management, they're just kind of, I think people sit back and go, okay, I'm in this role now. What is the company going to provide me? What are they going to teach me? How are they going to, you know, what should I do? What are the expectations? And there's a piece there that I truly believe we are in control of our own leadership development.
Yeah.
We have to invest in ourselves. And yes, the company has a responsibility, but if you, like I did, if you put all of your leadership development in their hands, you're going to be disappointed.
Yeah.
So it's really important, you know, and so enjoyable to work with younger managers that are AGMs and GMs and then are working their way up into regionals. Because again, I've been there. I know exactly what their struggles are, and love supporting them. And just, you know this too, when somebody has a moment of insight and they start to look at their world differently and everything starts to change for them, it's like, it's the best feeling.
Yeah. It's like, it's just like amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're right. I'm so glad you brought that up too. Cause I hear this from a lot of clients. They're like, well, you know, I would do coaching, but my company won't pay for it. And I'm like, why is your company's responsibility to develop you? I mean, yes, it's nice, but they're not always going to do it. And this is something you get to take with you wherever you go. It's like the gift that keeps on giving, because all the tools and the techniques you learn in coaching or in any kind of professional development, like, you take that with you for life. Like, that's something you always have. So yeah, I agree. I wish I had taken more of my development seriously when I was in corporate and not foisted that responsibility on someone else.
Yeah. And you, again, leadership is all about leading by example, right? And you can't, I don't believe that you can firmly go in and develop your team unless you're working on yourself first.
Amen. Yep. Highly agree with that. All right. We are getting towards the end, but I would love to give you the last word. So if you could say one thing to the women who are listening right now, they know they want to make a change, but they don't know how to get started, what would you say?
No brainer, hands down. Call Karen. Call me, find a coach. Seriously, yeah. Find a coach. It doesn't matter who it is. Yeah. You may have to interview a few in order to find that person that matches your style and is a great partner for you. I said it earlier, if I would have had a coach in my early 20s, man, I don't even know where my career, I would probably be retired by now. I mean, to have somebody that is a cheerleader for you, champions you, calls you out on your bullshit, and this is my tough love approach, but calls you out on your bullshit, holds you accountable to things, but is there whenever you need them for, and allows you to show up for the good days and the bad days. It's life-changing. And it doesn't matter if you are on the edge of burnout, or you're in this phase right now of not knowing what your next step is, or you're at the height of your career. We all have opportunities to get better. And again, making ourselves better just makes everybody else around us even better. So hands down. And the cool thing about coaches, if listeners don't know, I would assume that almost 100% of coaches, and if they're not, they should be doing this, will offer you a free session to test it out and see if the experience feels good to you and what you're going to start to get out of it. And if it's work that you even want to do, because sometimes it's not the right time. And if you're not ready, then don't waste your money.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, you want to be ready to receive the tough love and to take the actions and to commit to the time, because it's not just a matter of showing up to the coaching session. There's work that has to be done between those sessions, those commitments, as you said, right, that you're going to take away as action items.
Absolutely.
Well, I think that's brilliant advice. So listen to Kristen, get yourself a coach for 2024 if you don't have one already. And if people are interested in learning more about you, Kristen, where can they find you?
Yeah, so LinkedIn is the best place to find me. So it's at Kristen-Marvin, and my first name is spelled C-H-R-I-S-T-I-N. My website is kristenmarvin.com. You can also call me. My phone number is 719-494-6074, and would love to have a conversation and see what's going on.
Dang, I love it. Giving out the phone number, you got the digits and everything. That's awesome. This has been so much fun, and there's been so many truth bombs, and I hope that we're just planting those seeds, letting people think about things a little bit differently, seeing things from a different perspective, and that this is also possible, right? Like, we're not superhuman. We're not unicorns. Anyone can reinvent their life. It is feasible for everyone. It just, the degree of which you feel comfortable reinventing. And there's a place for everyone. Those small changes, like you mentioned, or really big grenade, blow the whole thing up and start over. Why not?
Yeah. Karen, thank you. You know, building a community when you're starting out something new. And I mean, community is important everywhere, but especially being a solopreneur and a podcaster, I really appreciate you having me on, and love that we've connected for sure. You're doing incredible things. So thanks for letting me share my story.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And we will definitely be staying connected. If you want to go check out Kristen, learn all of her stuff. She's going to be having her book coming out eventually too. So you want to be in her world so you'll know when that comes out. And yeah, until next time, everybody, stay fabulous.
Thanks for tuning in. I hope you're inspired to take action by committing to one of the tips or strategies we talked about in today's episode. And if you want accountability and support, I've got your back. Join my private Facebook group, Successful Working Women Rocking Reinvention, today. You'll find a community of like-minded women waiting to support you, exclusive content, and helpful resources to ensure you succeed. Lastly, if you loved this episode, do me a favor and be sure to leave a review. Together, we can encourage more women to live their purpose. See you next time.